Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Noah Hutchings and Larry Spargimino will reveal the interesting truths and myths about Thanksgiving. I want to encourage you, as you and your family prepare for Christmas, remember to check out all of the Bible-based and Christ-centered gifts that are available on our website, SWRC.com. With over 1,000 items, you can do your Christmas shopping and at the same time support Watchmen on the Wall. We have gifts from Jerusalem, Christmas-themed movies, and a huge selection of books and DVDs. SWRC.com. Shop for friends and family and support the ministry and outreach of Watchmen on the Wall. SWRC.com. Time to go into the vault all the way back to 2008 when former host Noah Hutchings was joined by Larry Spargimino to share interesting truths and myths about Thanksgiving.
Our program is heard, I think, on stations from New York to California, from Alaska to Florida. So we want to greet those who may be listening. I know many of you will be enjoying and have a blessing visiting with your loved ones. I'm sure many of you will have the traditional Thanksgiving dinner. And I know at my home, my wife Kim and I usually have dinner for our loved ones and children who are in the driving area, and the grandchildren come in, and we all have the traditional Thanksgiving meal at our home. It's a time to renew family association and to remember the blessings of the Lord, not only upon our immediate family, but also on our nation, going all the way back to our first Thanksgiving. And by the way, Dr. Spargimino, who started Thanksgiving?
Well, you know, Dr. Hutchings, Day of Thanksgiving was set aside by the Pilgrims who founded Plymouth Colony. Plymouth Colony was the first permanent settlement in New England. And of course, they were very biblical in realizing how important Thanksgiving is because, you know, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, it certainly doesn't say that we are to give thanks for everything, like if you fall and bust your hip, you know, thank you, Lord, for a busted hip, but rather in every circumstance. You know, as we look at that passage, Dr. Hutchings, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there are actually three commands. One is given in verse 16, one in verse 17, and one in verse 18. It says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks." And I think that's really interesting because, you know, a lot of times we as Christians say, well, I don't feel very much like giving thanks. Well, it's a command, okay? It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." And then a lot of times we say, Brother Hutchings, I don't feel like rejoicing. Well, it's a command, rejoice evermore. A lot of times we say, well, I don't feel like praying, but the Bible says pray without ceasing. So I think we're reminded that number one, we need to be thankful, and that number two, we don't go by feelings, we go by the blessed word of God. And of course, I know you love the King James Bible. I love the King James Bible. The Bible is our guide, and the Bible reminds us that there's something more important than feelings, and that is obedience to the Lord. So we're giving thanks because God tells us to do it, and certainly the Pilgrims were so thankful to the Lord. They were seeking to find religious liberty, and even though they faced many difficulties and many problems, they were thankful despite the cold, despite the shortage of food, despite the strange and foreign circumstances. They were thankful to the Lord, and certainly we must be thankful to Him as well.
Now, you mentioned the Pilgrims Association with Thanksgiving. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit more, but just about who were these Pilgrims and why did they come to this country and why did they feel the leading to institute what we know as the first Thanksgiving?
Well, Dr. Hutchings, the early Pilgrims were a group of separatists who were members of a Christian movement that broke away from the Church of England. And I think it's very interesting that they really prided Christian liberty. They did not want to read prayers. They wanted to pray to the Lord out of their hearts. They did not want to put the King of England on a pedestal. They realized that there is only one Lord, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted the freedom to preach from the Bible, from the whole Bible. They didn't want any kind of restraint imposed upon them. And you know, you and I and all Christians, at least up to this point, we've enjoyed a great deal of freedom, a great deal of liberty. My, I think of how preachers have been able to stand in the pulpit, to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to teach about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the second coming, about the wonders of salvation, and also to teach that there are some things that the Bible says, hey, this is sin, we must avoid those things. So religious liberty is something that we prize, and it's certainly something that they prized as well. And of course, we realize that we've enjoyed freedom. But freedom has always come at a very great cost. Freedom is not free. You know, we have freedom in Christ, but Jesus had to die on the cross that you and I might be free from sin and from indwelling sin and from the reign and rule of sin. So this is a time when we're thankful to the Lord. And when we think of the pilgrims who were separatists, who were following the Holy Spirit, the leadership of the Spirit, God told them, and I believe this was very, very clear to them, that they must go where they can worship the Lord and honor the Lord as they wanted.
Dr. Spurgeon, you know, about that time, there was a movement in England to have a Bible for all the people, and that started the movement over there that produced the King James Bible. But the pilgrims, I think they brought another Bible here because by the time the King James Bible, the 1611, was circulated and the errors taken out of it and they really began to producing copy, they brought the Geneva Bible, right? And what's the difference between the Geneva Bible and the King James Bible?
Well, first of all, they're very similar in that they are a translation of the Textus Receptus and of the Masoretic text. So they basically use the same basic manuscripts, which is what we feel is so important about the King James Bible. It's not just a translation, but it is a question of which manuscripts are you translating from. And we believe that the King James Bible, the Textus Receptus, and the Masoretic text, they represent the preserved Word of God, the Word, the whole Word, no more, no less. The pilgrims certainly believe that. The translators of the Geneva Bible certainly believe that. Now, the differences are simply translational. If any of our listeners has ever studied Latin or maybe French or Spanish, there are a couple of different ways that you can translate the same passage, but basically the meaning is the same. And what's so important is that every part of the Word of God, every verse, every part of every verse is found both in the Pilgrim Bible and in the King James Bible. And you know, Dr. Hutchings, it's so interesting today. You know, the big word today is change. We've got to change. We've got to change. Well, not all change is good. You know, if you're a Bible-believing Christian and you look at American culture and American society, we're certainly changing, but we're not changing for the better. I think we're changing for the worse. And one of the things that's so amazing, I think, in the fact that we've been faithful to the preserved Word of God is that we're saying this, hey, you shouldn't change the Word of God. God knows more about Himself. He knows more about us. He knows more about salvation than any human being could ever know. And the idea of amending the Bible, you know, a lot of people have amended the Constitution in California. Proposition 8 was voted in. Well, we can amend a human document, but the Bible is not human. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. God moved upon the apostles and the prophets to give the word exactly as He wanted. And guess what? By His grace, His word has been preserved. So we stand on the preserved Word of God.
That's why the Ten Commandments were written in stone.
Right.
Now, the pilgrims who came here, according to tradition and with certainly some verification, they observed a day in which to thank the Lord and for what He had allowed them to grow here, and they evidently had gathered their crops and preserved them to tide them over for the winter. And you know, Dr. Spargimino, I was raised on the farm during the Great Depression, and we would always go out and gather our crops, our corn, our pumpkins, our squash, and my mother would can everything she could. And we also prepared for the winter, just like the Pilgrims did. And they evidently had a day of thanking the Lord for bringing this new land and provide for them and watch over them. We know that many of them didn't survive, but they praised God for those who did. When did Thanksgiving become a national holiday?
Well, Dr. Hutchings, the state of New York adopted Thanksgiving Day as an annual custom in 1817. Going back a little bit, actually, you know, when the first harvest was completed at Plymouth Colony, Governor William Bradford proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving and prayer going way back, and this was later in the year. But like I say, the state of New York adopted Thanksgiving Day as an annual custom in 1817. By the time of the Civil War, many other states had done the same. Then in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln appointed a day of Thanksgiving. And of course, we have it on Thursday at the end of the month of November. Now, the dating of all of this, I think, is really very interesting because, you know, on September the 16th, 1620, and that takes us way back to when all of this began, there was a group of men and women and children, 102. Now, some of the accounts say 103, but 102 or 103 men, women, and children left Plymouth, England for America on the Mayflower. They were blown off course from their intended landing in Virginia by a terrible storm. And so the Pilgrims, after being blown off course, landed at Cape Cod on November the 11th, and that was in 1620. My, can you imagine those many, many months on the high sea? It must have been very, very difficult. Well, on December the 21st, they landed on the site of Plymouth Colony. While still on the ship, the Pilgrims signed the Mayflower Compact. Now, that's really important because before they actually left the ship, Dr. Hutchings, they put together this very important compact. And I think it's very interesting we see in this compact how committed these early Christians really were to following the word and the will of God. They were serious about the Lord.
Now, in order to get to what we would call Plymouth Rock, where supposedly the first Christians landed, they didn't have a big, safe cruise ships that we have today. They had wooden ships. Maybe 40 feet long, 50 feet long. Some of them may have been 60, 70 feet long. But they would really only hold 200 or 300 people crowded in those hulls, and they had to take water. They'd see them over, and much of it was stale water by the time they get here. Very skimpy food supplies, hardtacks, things that they could eat and be preserved. And my goodness, it was a month or two trip across the Atlantic there in stormy seas. So they really were taking a chance because many of the ships were lost in storms and hurricanes at that time. So they must have had an incentive or a reason for leaving. And did all of them come from England? Seemed like some of them had gone to Holland and then had to come here.
Right. Some of them had gone to Holland for the purpose of religious liberty, to escape the king's decree and the established church and the teachings of the established church. They were persecuted in England. They spent several difficult years of exile in the Netherlands or in Holland, and so they really knew that religious liberty is precious indeed. And I think, Dr. Hutchings, you know, we in America, we have so many wonderful things that we just take things for granted. And, you know, there may be times of persecution coming upon the church, but in a sense, the church has always prospered, at least spiritually, when there has been times of difficulty. And certainly, I'm not praying for persecution, and yet, as we see here with the Pilgrims and with the Mayflower and with their commitment to the Lord and actually signing the Mayflower Compact, we see how truly precious religious liberty is. And as I think of our country, you know, for the last couple of hundred years, we have enjoyed a great deal of religious liberty. I pray that this would continue. Of course, there's talk about the fairness doctrine. We don't believe that the fairness doctrine is fair. We think it's unfair. But we as Christian people, we need to be thankful, number one, for the liberties that we've enjoyed. And number two, we need to pray to the Lord that we would continue to be able to proclaim the gospel. I know the gospel is very unpopular today with so many people. There is a drift, a secularistic, a materialistic drift in our country. But I want to encourage everyone, and I know you do as well, to lift up this ministry, to lift up local churches, to lift up evangelists, those who proclaim the whole counsel of God, that we will continue to have this liberty and that we will continue to be thankful for the liberty that God gives to us.
Certainly, and we're to honor the Word of God. You know, in our Bible at this Thanksgiving, we're told in the Bible to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, of course, we're actually praying for the second coming of Christ, because there will be no peace in Jerusalem until he comes. But, you know, the National Council of Churches recently sent out 45 million pamphlets challenging our right to defend the nation of Israel. Maybe they won't even want us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I think that's very sad. You know, we have a pin here that with the flag of the United States and the flag of Israel joined together, which is a reminder that we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And our announcer may tell our listeners how to get that. Of course, if there's no one answers your phone, you can call back tomorrow. We know why the pilgrims left Europe and how they immigrated to the New World. But before they left the ship they came in, the Mayflower, there was a compact. Will you tell us something about this document?
Yes, the Mayflower Compact is also called the American Covenant, showed their desire to acknowledge God's sovereignty in their lives and also to acknowledge that they needed to obey him. So here, this early colony, number one, was showing that, yes, they were submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and King. But number two, they realized, and we see this in the compact, that if the Mayflower, if the colony was to be successful, they had to live according to the Word of God. And I think that's amazing, because we see so many problems in our country, so many problems in our cities. Why? Because we've departed from the Word of God. So they feared launching their colony until they had publicly recognized God's authority over them. And I think that's amazing. They realized that, hey, we need to make it public. You know, there are a lot of people today who say, well, let's get married. We don't have to have a ceremony. Let's just get married. No, these people said, if you're going to do something really significant, you have to swear before the Lord. You have to make it public. You have to be accountable to other people. And Dr. Hutchings, I'd like to just read a few words from the Mayflower Compact or the American Covenant. It goes off this way. It says, in the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord, King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King Defender of the Faith, and so forth. Now listen to this. Having undertaking for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, and honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for the better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. In other words, they were saying, we are under the authority of Almighty God, and we are covenanting together to live by His Word. That's absolutely amazing, and that's called the American Covenant. What's America about? It's about God. What kind of standards do we have going back to our founding fathers and these foundational documents? The Word of God. We repeatedly come back to the Word of God.
Many of the ideals and teachings and reasons for the establishment of the United States as a sovereign nation were incorporated into the New England Primer and the Blueback Speller. And you know, the New England Primer was printed in 1690. We have combined the New England Primer and the Blueback Speller in one volume. It's available here at the ministry. if you homeschool, or they would be good books for a supplementary book for your school children, even if they go to public school. Certainly, the story of Thanksgiving and is incorporated into the two books, and they're available here at the ministry. Would you just say a final word about Thanksgiving, Dr. Spargimino, and offer a prayer for our nation?
Well, thank you, Dr. Hushings. Yes, friends, I want to encourage you to worship the Lord at this holiday season. Be thankful for your families. Be thankful for the food that you're going to partake of. Maybe you've had your turkey already. And above all, remember to keep Christ in the center of your lives. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for our country. We pray your blessings upon our nation, upon our president, upon our leaders. We pray for all of our listeners. We pray, Father, that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be lifted up on Thanksgiving Day.
While many people are planning meals and retailers and thrifty folks are laser-focused on Black Friday today, we want to ask you to put a very special date on your calendar, December 2nd, Giving Tuesday. It's a day of generosity held annually on the first Tuesday after Thanksgiving. This is a day that can make a difference in the world for years, really for generations to come. You can make a difference in a life or in innumerable lives. Please make plans now to participate in Giving Tuesday with a gift to SWRC. Your gifts are income tax deductible and are how we come to you each day with the truth of the gospel and the never-changing message that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. One day, one gift, it can make an eternal difference. Thank you for supporting Southwest Radio and Prophecy in the News. And thank you for being ready for Giving Tuesday, coming up this Tuesday, December 2nd. Josh Davis comes now to share some exciting details about this year's special Beyond the Veil calendar.
Friends, thank you so much for your prayers and partnership with us in the Onesimus Prison Ministry Outreach as we seek to reach those behind bars with the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel message and discipleship resources that will help them grow in the Lord. And thanks to you, we're able to share what the Lord is doing as we have recently received some updates from inmates that we want to pass along to you. And this is Black Friday, right? It's a day of shopping for the Christmas season and getting all those gifts and making runs to all the stores and those kinds of things. Well, go over to swrc.com. Again, that's swrc.com. Pick up a copy or maybe a couple copies as some good stocking stuffers. It's the 2026 calendar. It's called Beyond the Veil. It's designed by our Marginal Mysteries host, Micah Van Hus. You will be able to see the images right there on the website, swrc.com. The neat thing about this calendar is that for every calendar you purchase from Southwest Radio Ministries, you are enabling us to send two calendars, free of charge, shipping included, to inmates across America. And those requests continue to pour into our ministry. We are grateful and thankful for your prayers and partnership that enable us to continue reaching into new lives and ministering the gospel to those who need to hear it the most. And we have some longtime friends who have written to us recently, but I also want to share a letter that we recently received from a brand new inmate. He saw a calendar and he wanted to get his own, so he writes to us requesting that. I want to share that with you on this segment today. First, a letter from an inmate, female inmate, located in the United States of America in the South. She writes to us, "I'm currently incarcerated," and she gives the state and location. "I'm not able to help your organization financially, as we do not get paid for our jobs, but I will pray for you all and ask others to pray for Southwest Radio Ministries. Will you all be able to send out the 2026 calendars to inmates? If so, I'd like to get added to your mailing list so that I can get mine. My address has changed too," and she gives us the updated address and then continues her letter. "Thank you in advance for your attention to this matter. Thank you for your newsletters. It's all because of faithful friends like you who follow the Lord's direction and who respond with obedience as the Holy Spirit prompts your heart to partner with Southwest Radio Ministries. And because of you, we are able to have this time to dedicate to investing in the lives of those behind bars. Thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you so much for your partnership with us in ministry. You know, this coming Tuesday is often referred to as Giving Tuesday, but you don't have to wait till then to partner with us. As the Holy Spirit prompts your heart, and I would add this, only as the Holy Spirit prompts your heart, would you prayerfully consider how you can partner with SWRC financially in these days? Because the need is urgent. The need is apparent, as revealed through these letters today. And there are some practical ways that you can help us through purchasing the 2026 calendar or through a donation to the Onesimus Prison Ministry and the other wonderful outreaches of SWRC. Thank you so much for your prayers and partnership with us in ministry, dear friends. Again, if you'd like to give us a call, our phone number, toll-free, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or visit us online today, swrc.com. Again, that's swrc.com.
Each year, we produce a calendar to raise funds for our prison ministry. This special ministry provides Bibles, resources, prayer, and encouragement to prisoners across the country. This year, our calendar theme is Beyond the Veil. Created by Marginal Mysteries host Micah Van Hus, the Beyond the Veil 2026 calendar includes stunning imagery, a guide for reading through the Bible in a year, the major Jewish holidays, and for each calendar you order, you'll be providing two free calendars for incarcerated individuals through our Onesimus Prison Ministry. This calendar, with its one-of-a-kind images, is perfect for daily encouragement, Bible study inspiration, or as a meaningful gift. Order your Beyond the Veil calendar today when you call 1-800-652-1144. And remember, we have special discounts when you order multiple copies of the Beyond the Veil 2026 calendar. So order today, 1-800-652-1144. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. So head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends just like you. To learn more, visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com.